You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome
to Theater Geeks Anonymous,
the podcast about Broadway flops, scandals, and new work.
Now we'll take a break from our usual episodes to bring you this intermission-sode. It is what it is. I'm trying not to contribute to the friggin' spike that's definitely going to happen in a couple of weeks.
It's already starting.
Yeah. Well, they're saying it'll be worse because a lot of people are still going to travel and still be unmasked with family. Yeah. And
it's
what are we at?
200. Day.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, take it on the chin. It's one day.
I know. I know. That's why I'm staying here.
I know. I know. It's just so frustrating.
It is, because it feels like we're never gonna be finished.
Yeah.
Because, like, people just can't get it together. And it's like, wear a mask when the vaccine comes out and is approved by the FDA, like, get it. Please don't be an anti-masker. Please don't be an anti-vaxxer, or otherwise we'll just be in this forever.
I feel like anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers are the same people.
Yeah.
So this is my worry, is that the vaccine is going to come out, but because there's probably more than 25% of the country that believes in that vaccinations cause autism still, and they don't believe in wearing their mask, that we're not going to be able to get to the herd immunity phase.
Right.
And we'll still have this stupid virus that should have been eradicated within the first few months by just simply wearing a piece of fabric over your stupid mouth.
I know.
Yep.
So on that bright and happy note, we're just
happy
Thanksgiving, geeks. We are just gonna do a little episode talking about, you know, Thanksgiving Day parade.
A tiny little episode. Just a tiny one.
So we
were talking about the Macy's Day Parade, and that's how this kind of episode came into being. Basically, we wanted to do a special Thanksgiving episode. Our podcast network, BPN, Broadway Podcast Network, asked us to do something special for Thanksgiving. And so we were racking our brains trying to figure out what to do. And we had all of these like high ideas. And one of those ideas will definitely happen later on, but it's going to be more of a holiday episode instead of a holiday social media thing.
Yeah.
Instead of Thanksgiving. But then I was like, Thanksgiving is like the Macy's Day Parade. Like, that's what makes it Thanksgiving, right?
That's
where Broadway and Thanksgiving intersect at the Macy's Day Parade. And so I was like, so let's just do like the biggest fails, which are fun. Cause I mean, over the years that I've watched the Macy's Day Parade, those are the things that I remember. It's like, you know, the Cat in the Hat got stuck on the building, and it was so windy that
I was looking up these and I was like, why don't I remember any of this?
Yeah.
Because I was definitely watching as a kid, and there must have been several Cat in the Hat ones, cause there's another Cat in the Hat.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, because he's so long.
Yeah.
And he's got that tall projectile on top of his head. So he's got these limbs, and he's very, very long, and he's tall.
But it seemed like, I think it was the 1993 one, that there were several balloons
that
went off the rails. And so Cat in the Hat was one of them, but it was so bad that he flipping knocked into a lamppost, knocked off the one of the light fixtures on the lamppost, which fell into the crowd. Four people were injured. Oh, a lady goes to the hospital and freaking like she was in critical condition.
Wow. And I'm sorry that I laughed. But that was funny too.
At first it was, and then it just started going, getting worse and worse. Really bad. And then it was like, I think that was the same year where it was like Ronald McDonald was on the struggle bus. Like he was going into
the same shape as the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like think of in terms of like how long they are. But like I recall there was one year, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, who even knows at this point, but like Pikachu was the balloon. Yes. And he's like small and squat. So you think no big deal, right? But it was so windy this particular day that they were all struggling. I mean, they were already flying them as low as they could because of the wind, but like Pikachu blew into a building and got stuck and got tangled around. And like, so you're seeing all these balloon handlers trying to like extricate the strings. I feel like now they're very liberal with saying no. Like if it's too windy, they're like, Snoopy's not going out. Cat in the Hat staying inside. Like they're very, you know, liberal as far as those limitations are concerned anymore.
Yeah, that's true. There was the 1997 one was Barney.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I totally forgot until you just said it. Go ahead and finish.
That one was horrible. So he got winded as well, but it was so bad that he also ripped on his side open and began to slowly deflate until he was just laying in the street face down. And the handlers had to like roll him up and put him on the side of the street. I mean, that was tragic.
Lord. That is tragic. I mean, those are heavy canvas things. Those are hard to rip.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching, there was like a really short, NBC Today show, like little segment from 3 years ago where they were building a new Grinch.
Oh, okay.
And so I watched it and like, there's this woman who's been doing it for 30 years where she was like sewing together.
Yeah. Him. Oh man, that's insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. There's another like one of those NBC, CBS, whatever specials from the 90s. Mm-hmm. That's the one I recall watching. But it's like, you know, they go into the warehouse where all of them are kept and they're like, they blow they've spent, you know, weeks blowing them all up and keeping them in these warehouses until Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of preparation for this just like, you know, 2 hour event.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then I've never been, but I've had friends that go, you know, you can go a couple nights before over to the Museum of Natural History and watch some of them get inflated.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never done it, but I have friends.
I've never done that either. I've never also been down in Midtown when they do the parade ever.
Yeah. No,
same. I will not. And I will not be anywhere near Manhattan on New Year's Eve either.
Oh no.
Never.
Absolutely not.
But I have friends who live in New York that do. I'm like, why? Why would you want to do that?
I know. I just want to be warm in my jammies watching it.
Listen, I am 100% going to be in bed before midnight anyway. I will say, I'm heading to bed, everybody. See you next year.
That's on brand. Yeah. That seems right.
True.
Yeah.
I'm like, as I get older too, that there's, you know, I mean, I'm at home usually. We're watching TV with my parents. So it's not even like there's no big hoopla. There doesn't need to be really. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Yeah. I'm usually just with family or. Yeah. I like to, I mean, in the before times, I can't do it now, but I would like go see a movie.
Okay.
You know, right before or like a, like where I would still be in the theater during midnight, you know, something like that.
Where they stop the movie and everyone claps and then go back to watching the movie.
They didn't.
Oh, good.
You just keep watching.
That's good because don't interrupt the movie.
No, don't do that.
Like the clock.
No. Don't do that.
Well, hey, let me ask you this then. What were some traditions that you had with your family on Thanksgiving?
Our thing, like both Thanksgiving and Christmas were sort of hodgepodgey.
Okay.
Like, it's just like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I can tell you one of my funniest memories because they were all so hodgepodgey. It was either we'd be at Gran's house or we'd do it at our house and then go to Gran's, and then Gran was in the nursing home. So sometimes and then my brother had in-laws. I mean, I'm telling you, yeah. It's just all over the place. There's no telling. The part of my family that keeps it pretty much the same is the patriarchal side. And that's the side where I go down to North Carolina. And so they do like a rotation of houses. So each year it's at a different person's house, and everybody brings something, you know, and it's the same somethings. It's the same meal, but it's always great. You know, it's soul food, right? One of the funniest Thanksgivings was, I had decided what I used to do was I would drive from New York and then I would go down to Maryland, stay overnight in Maryland, and then drive Thanksgiving Day down to North Carolina where my dad was living. And he only lived there the last 4 years of his life. But this one year, mom knows this is what I'm doing. And I get there and my mom and I used to talk frequently. And so I was like, Mom, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? She's like, I don't know. We might just go to the buffet. I don't know. She could not make up her flipping mind to save her life. And so I wake up Thanksgiving morning and I'm like, you know, getting dressed to get in the car and drive down to my dad. And she starts pulling out cans. And I was like, Mom, what are you doing? I thought you were going to the buffet. And she's like, oh, I don't know. Now I'm like, maybe I'll cook. I was like, Mom, it's Thanksgiving Day. What are you doing? Just go to the buffet now.
Right. You've basically made the decision by not making a decision.
Yes.
You've run out of time.
Like, it's over. It's over. So I get in the car, you know, drive down, see my dad, because Thanksgiving was at his house, and mm-hmm. all his siblings and everyone had brought the stuff there. I get there. We finished eating. My dad and I are watching football. And even though my parents were divorced, they got along quite well, really well. So he said, did you call your mother? And I was like, oh, crap, I forgot. Let me call her. So I called her and she said, Ebony, guess where Stevie and I are? Stevie's my little brother. I said, where? What are you doing? And she was like, we're in the drive-thru at McDonald's. And I was like, Mom, this is what it's come to. Thanksgiving is McDonald's. And I was laughing and laughing. My dad was like, what happened? And I told him. And he chuckled and shook his head. And he said, that was the wife I loved so well.
Oh, that's cute. Well, growing up, ours was always the same,
mm-hmm.
always. And I loved that about it because it was also like you could adapt within the structure of it. That's kind of how my parents set things up. You know, there was always kind of this, a little bit of give mm-hmm. within the structure of what was set up. So during the day, Mom would be, you know, cooking. She'd put the turkey in like early, early, early in the morning, or maybe even sometimes the night before. But while it was cooking, we would go and see a movie. And then by the time we got back from the movie, the turkey was done and it was ready to eat. But like before then, of course, we were all starving because, you know, you smell the turkey cooking and you're like, I'm so hungry. So like Mom makes this crudité platter, if you could even call it that, that is literally black olives and pickles and sometimes celery that we would just graze on. But I tell you what, Ebony, if the pickles and the olives are not there, someone says something. Like, Mom, where's the olives? And she's like, well, there's a can in the pantry. You open it up. You put the, you know, but like she has this little crystal platter that you put the pickles on the one.
There's
side.
No cheese?
No, of course not. I don't know why. Like black olives.
That's the weirdest crudité platter ever.
I know, I'm telling you. But there's something so satisfying about it. And like, you know, we'd have like chips and hummus too. So like there was something like that as well.
Okay.
But then as the kids, like the nieces and nephews were starting to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Then the chips and hummus went to them because they'd like have their disgusting fingers all in everything. And then I didn't want to eat any of that stuff anymore. But the olives and pickles were always safe. Pickles and olives, man.
I like both.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't eat them. Like, I mean, I'll eat pickles anytime, any time of the day.
Yeah.
Any time of the year, any time of the month. Whatever. I love pickles.
Me too.
But like black olives are one of those things where I'm like, oh, it's not Thanksgiving yet.
I can see that when it's such a tradition that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. We mom did like to go see a movie either Thanksgiving night or at some point during Christmas break.
Okay.
So sometimes on the day, but if we couldn't get it done on the day, during break at some point, we would go see a movie. And so, but now because we're so scattered to the four winds, you know, my siblings and I don't do that so much. And then I don't go, like I always go to North Carolina, you know, like I said, now since my mom has passed. Mm-hmm. For Thanksgiving. But pickles
and olives. Black olives. Like the most tasteless of olives. Yeah. And yet they're so satisfying.
Yeah. I don't know why the black ones are so bland. Like
I know they don't taste like anything.
No, the Kalamatas do have flavor.
Green olives. Great. I love a good green. I've got a jar full of green olives in my refrigerator right now with the pimento as well. I love green olive. Like two or three. My mouth is watering right now just talking green olives. Like two or three. And I'm like, that's good. That's good enough. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need any more.
Mm-hmm.
Black olives, you can just pop those things because there's no salt content. Like there's really no flavor at all. You're just eating them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we ate all the olives. Mom, do you have any more cans of black olives? And of course she does, because that's the tradition. That and eggnog. You always have to have eggnog for Thanksgiving. Always. Yeah. That's the first time you're able to drink it.
I was looking for some.
I just drank some today, actually.
Where did you get it?
I got it on my Stop and Shop delivery yesterday. But
see, I went down to Berry Fresh when I went to Berry Fresh on Wednesday. No, I couldn't find it.
Well, that might have been too early.
For just went last week?
Yeah. Because like if you really consider that eggnog is a very seasonal thing, like between Thanksgiving and Christmas or Thanksgiving and New Year's, basically, like that's when it becomes available. So it probably wasn't like available until the week of Thanksgiving, which is now. But I bet if you checked now,
maybe
they would have some.
Because then when I left Oklahoma in October, it was there.
Oh. Oh, they've got it. They've got the right thing there.
Yep.
I love eggnog.
Me too.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
That and like peppermint flavored anything at the holidays.
Yep.
Pumpkin, peppermint, eggnog, gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
Or like any of the like pumpkin spice flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I enjoy as well. There was another couple. I think I had another couple like weird floats.
Oh, please tell me.
On here.
Wasn't there one with like the Spider-Man one year?
The Spider-Man and Uncle Sam.
Yes. Where they got a little too close.
Too close while they were being inflated, which could also be a euphemism for things. That was, wow. There was a list on the Advocate website, which had like the top 10 like gayest Thanksgiving Day moments. And I was like, I watched them and looked at them. There's like Kiss of the Spider-Woman performance. There was Mavis, I can't remember her last name, Staples, singing I Need a Hero with a bunch of superheroes dancing on the float. It was pretty great. Oh, Popeye, 1957. there was such a huge rain downfall that Popeye's hat got filled with water.
Oh, I didn't know about this one.
And so as he was, like, you know, floating down Fifth Avenue, you know, he tipped over and poured water on a bunch of bystanders.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So they got another shower. And then there was also the 1991 Kermit the Frog incident, where they were doing like a retrospective of, you know, all the many years that he's been floating in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But unfortunately, like, he is literally floating down Fifth Avenue with his head hung very, very low. And like, they can't get it to come up for anything. I think his head deflated a little bit.
Yeah.
So you never could see his face. It was just like down, down, very low the whole way down Fifth Avenue. It was the saddest, most depressing thing.
Oh, okay.
At least they had clips from when he was in other parades.
Yeah.
So they sort of interspersed it, but he was looking real sad. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
There was another, like, dangerous one with Sonic the Hedgehog. I didn't write the year, and I think it might have been that 93 year, but like, he knocked over two people, a small child and a cop.
Oh my goodness.
They were both okay, thank God. And then like rammed into a pole and then like ended up deflating. I mean, he was just, it was bad. It's just, you never know what's going to happen.
And I can say, okay, so like, you are always traveling when the Macy's Day Parade happens, which is why you don't watch. Like, I will always have it on in the background, but I'm usually doing something else. And then when I hear the performances start, I'll run out to watch them. Mm-hmm. But like, every once in a while, I'll sit and watch. The thing is, they're slightly underwhelming. And sometimes the commentary is so inane that all I want to do is turn the channel. You're just like, please give me a commercial. Because this is really awful. And also, one thing that does slightly annoy me, and I understand the purpose of it, but it does still annoy me, is that the Broadway performances are never live. They're always pre-recorded. And you can tell that they're pre-recorded because Broadway performers are not used to lip syncing.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very obvious. And I still love the dances. They're still doing the dances full out, but like, there's just, you're like, come on, guys. But I know it's not possible. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of people talking about like counting fails is bad lip syncing or getting caught lip syncing. And it's like everybody lip syncs. I mean, it's not possible.
Well, everyone does, but then there are some that you're like, whoa, dude, do you even know your own song?
Right.
There's one with the guy singing Mambo Number 5. And he's literally like, he's just moving his lips because he has forgotten the words.
Oh, no.
It is hilarious. I was like, wait, you wrote this. You recorded it and you sing it countless times. And now you don't remember it.
That's sad.
So funny though. So like that kind of stuff I can get behind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awful. That's one thing. I couldn't find any Broadway fails. And I was like, good on our community.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, friends.
I know. No, they're always very well prepared. Yeah. I will also say, because there have been a couple of times in the past, just recent years, where instead of being out in front of Macy's, they have cut to the actual theater. And I actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
Once on This Island stuck out because of dude's hips. Yeah.
Alex?
Yeah. No. The dude playing Danielle.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that performance.
He was just doing his little, you can see what I'm doing, right? Uh-huh. Look it up when you're done with me.
Okay. Okay.
You know, he does his little salsa hip dance move. You've seen it because he did it on the Tony Awards too. Like,
okay.
It's always what their go-to, like they did Waiting for Life into another medley, usually with Alex Newell singing.
Okay.
Mama Will Provide. Like that's kind of what they used to do for all of their live performances, but they always had his little salsa hip move while she was singing Waiting for Life.
I have to go because I definitely watched the Tony. What year was that Tony Awards?
It would have been like 3 years ago.
I didn't see that Tony's.
Okay.
Because my friend was getting married.
Oh, okay.
That's like the only one I've not seen. But I did see Once on This Island.
Okay. And I'm so jealous of you for that because every time I would see a live performance of it on any platform, it was always so impressive to me. Like it would draw me in and I love that musical first of all, anyway. Like I love it. There is something so joyful about it from start to finish where it just gets into your bones and makes you just want to dance and be a better person. But to see that, like, because it is such a diverse cast also, Alex is astounding, the level of talent. Yes. Those chords could be platinized and hung in some museum.
Yes. Have you watched Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist?
No, but it's on.
They are on there. List.
Okay.
And they are amazing.
I mean, is there? Yes.
Yeah.
There's no. I can't imagine there being another option.
Like, I know.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, love Once on This Island. Yes, for Alex and the hip move. Love the hip move. It's very sexy.
I've got to go watch that Tony Awards performance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Wait,
2018.
I think so. 2017 or 18.
If I missed it, it was 2018 because that's the year my friend got married.
Yeah. I think it was Once on This Island.
And then in December 2018 is when I went and saw the show, like right before it was closing.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, 2018. Ugh, love it.
Yeah. it's little, the Tony was in the box in the lobby. Best revival.
Nice.
Yeah, we took a picture with it.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Mm-hmm. You just now kind of wish you could like spin it.
I know.
I just want to flick the middle.
I know, me too.
I believe
Do you have any favorite dishes that you like to make?
Lemon meringue pie is the pie. Like, I know that it's not a seasonal pie. I mean, it is kind of seasonal, but like not holiday. It's not a holiday pie. But like my mom always made lemon meringue pie, pumpkin pie, and then sometimes she'd like throw in a cherry or like an apple, like some other fruit kind of pie, right? To feed everybody that was coming. Yeah. But it was always about the lemon meringue pie for me because it was so good. And then as I got older, like I would try to make it, like when I was still living at home, like mid-teens, I would start making it. And then I got to a point where I got, you know, good enough, accomplished enough at it that then she was like, okay, it's your turn. You get to make the lemon meringue. I'll make the other pies.
Aww.
And so then it was like, okay. Now I'm like putting my own little spins on it. I'm like, I put a little lavender essential oil in the meringue this time, everybody, just so you know. It's good. I like it. But yeah, lemon meringue pie was always, that's always the go-to.
I like that one too. In fact, when I was a kid and whenever I would go down to North Carolina for Thanksgiving, my maternal grandmother would always make me a lemon meringue because it was my favorite too.
Oh, I love that.
So then she'd be like, so take this one home.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah. Because we always do Thanksgiving at my sister-in-law and brother's house.
Okay.
Like they're the hosts and they usually do the turkey, but then everybody else brings
the sides,
whatever the sides are, sides and desserts. And so like it's a communal effort, but that's where we always host it because it's the biggest amount of space and it's all kind of open. So it's just easy to kind of be a family in that space. Okay. But like, if there's anything left over, my mom is like the first to say, okay, well, that's yours. So you put that in your refrigerator. We're going to go home now. But every time she does that, I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be taking this lemon meringue pie. Thank you very much.
Why are you offering this? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. I'll take these as leftovers. Don't you worry. They'll get eaten. I think she's just afraid she's going to eat it all.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm like right out in the open with saying, I will eat it all. I will take this home with me and I will eat it all. It's just so good.
Yeah. I enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
That my family now they don't make lemon meringues anymore. But they do pecan and sweet potato.
Okay. I do love a good sweet potato pie. If there's not a pumpkin, I'll do a sweet potato.
I love sweet potato pie. I make sweet potato casserole. That's my favorite side dish to make.
Okay. And I will say also that is one of my favorites. It's so funny to me because the turkey really doesn't mean anything to me. It's all about the side dishes for me. So yeah, like I'm a huge lover of the sweet potato, all the sweet side dishes. I am a big fan of. But you're talking about like sweet potatoes with brown sugar and butter and the crumble on top.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, girl.
One thing I cannot get behind, though, is the green bean casserole. I'm sorry. That does not have any place on my Thanksgiving or Christmas table. You get that out of there. I don't like French's onions. I don't like green bean casserole. If you want to bring green beans, fantastic. Don't bring that casserole crap. It's disgusting.
I actually don't mind green bean casserole, but we're not making that. I'm just roasting green beans and broccoli.
Oh, see, that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
And then also there's like this corn casserole that I have just been introduced to in the last five years. So it's a can of corn, a can of creamed corn, sour cream, Jiffy cornbread mix.
Oh,
and then you bake it.
Oh dear.
And it's kind of like a sweet cornbread casserole.
Oh no.
Oh my God. It's
I would eat the whole freaking thing.
All right. this is coming from a girl that like, if given her devices, she would just eat an entire can of creamed corn for dinner when she was little.
Yep.
I love myself some creamed corn. Yeah, that stuff is really delightful.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah.
Last year for Friendsgiving, we just had a pernil. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
It's a ham that's roasted with like really amazing spices. It's mainly like a Puerto Rican dish.
You see, like all the cloves sticking on it.
Well,
no.
No, that's more that's usually more like a sweet ham, but like I think cloves is one of the
like it's
spices.
Super spicy though. Like it's a spicy.
I wouldn't say not heat spicy.
Oh, okay.
But the thing that I love so much, right, is that then after you bake it, after it's like all tender and stuff, you broil the top for a bit and then you have like a bacon basically on top.
You make that crispy.
Yes.
You have that beautiful, tender pink meat inside, and that top fat is nice and crinkly, crispy. Oh, there's nothing
better. My favorite part.
It's like that's what we'll do for Christmas is a spiralized ham, but it's usually like a honey glazed.
Right.
Ham.
Yeah. So that's what I grew up on. But
oh, yummy. That sounds delightful.
I love a pernil.
Okay.
The best.
That sounds delicious.
And then my soon-to-be brother-in-law made one for Christmas. So I had two pernils. I was like, I'm not mad at it.
No,
I'll take
it
all. He kept handing me the like crispy fat. He was like, here. I was like, thank you. So good.
Oh, I did end up getting a big turkey, not a full turkey. Cause then when I opened up the packaging, I realized that it was a whole breast, not a whole turkey, but it's sitting in my refrigerator in a gallon size bag with salt water. And I'm just letting it brine all day today. And then I'll probably roast it maybe tomorrow night, maybe tonight. We'll see. I'm very excited about it. I know all of those rules are in my brain somewhere. I've just never had to use them.
Yeah, same.
Because someone else has always cooked the turkey.
Me too.
So I'll stick to my strengths. But I am cooking this for the first time, which I'm very excited about.
I'm afraid to brine, so I'm crock potting.
Okay. I mean, brining is the easiest thing possible.
But I'm afraid I'll leave it in too long and then it'll be too salty.
You can't.
What do you mean you can't?
Like, it literally is like, brine it for at least 6 hours, if not overnight. Like, 18 hours would be the most probably you'd want to do it. But like, you can't overdo it with the brining.
I heard if you do it too much, it gets salty.
I mean, that's not been my experience.
Okay.
I do it to my chicken breasts all the time.
I marinate my chicken breasts, but I've never brined them.
I mostly brine them.
Okay.
It's not to season as much as it is to tenderize.
Right. Okay.
It's good. You should try it.
I'm thinking about it.
Don't do it for a long time. Just, you know, if you want to set it up for just 6 hours, fine. And then kind of go from there and see what you like.
Okay.
Because if you're going to add a bunch of different spices in there as well.
Yeah.
You want it to be well salted. You want it to be seasoned that way so that you've got a base for those flavors to come out of.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Let me think about this. All right. Well, we are definitely over the 15.
Oh, yeah. That's all right, though, because you guys love it. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, geeks. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, you will. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
TGABWay and on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network and all your favorite podcast listening apps.
Your intermission sode has now concluded.
Shut up, sit down, and turn off your cell phones. Or we'll tell Patti LuPone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.